Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back. We're in training camp. It's a lot of Bears news. Thank you for rocking with us. We've been away for a little bit, but it's good to be back.
Wait a minute. You said we in what?
Training camp.
Say that one more time.
Training camp.
Damn, that sounds good. That sounds good. Real good.
Yes, sir. But we had some breaking news that my man Devore has been telling us about.
Yeah.
For a while. Anthony Miller. So I'm going to just go ahead and let you do your thing, brother.
Damn. Anthony Miller, I told you this was going to happen way back when, in January, right after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Green Bay Packers. What did I tell you, young man? I told you your ass was on your way out. On your way out. And you laughed. You laughed at it as if it was not true. Well, today, and for the past week, because it's about a week old now, right? For the past week, I've been sitting, looking at the news and going, I have nothing else to say. Besides, I told you so.
Texans.
Now the question is, with him being in Houston, is he a lock to make the roster? Because at this point, I don't know, in all honesty. They got a lot of young guys down there that are, you know, I hate to say it, but they're just better than Anthony Miller at this point of their careers, even guys who are fighting and vying for a roster spot. So I mean, hopefully Anthony Miller, you can crack the roster, but what's really going to be fucked up for you is that, one, you're behind the eight ball because you were here for 3 years in Chicago and you didn't know the playbook. Not only the fact that you didn't know the playbook for 3 years, right? You couldn't get in your playbook. So we're trusting you to go down to Houston, and within a matter of what, fucking 4 weeks now, they have 3-4 weeks that you're going to know this playbook. Cue it. That was a joke, right? Somebody please tell me that this is a fucking joke. So, you know, you are behind eight ball, young man. And given the fact that, one, you're slow, two, you know, for everybody that was saying, oh, Emil, he gets open and then, okay, well, are you going to catch it? Remember, they showed that one play against Atlanta last year where he caught that touchdown in the end zone. But may I remind you, series before, he dropped that motherfucker, the same play. He dropped the same goddamn play in the end zone, wide open. So hopefully you bring your stickum. Hopefully you taking some ginkgo biloba for your memory and everything else in this playbook.
Ginseng root.
Mecca root, black mecca, black root, whatever roots you need to do to that stimulate mushroom, that dumbass brain of yours. Hopefully you get it together, but I don't give a fuck about you. Didn't give a fuck about you when you played for us. And I really don't give a fuck about you now because you down in Houston. So do your little dumbass antics. I'm sure it's going to be a matter of a time before you do something dumb. But it's only a matter of time, and you know, you may not make it. But if you don't make it, remember, I told you so.
He told you. He told you. And I just want a round of applause for Devory Nesby on this one.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of times people just think we talking to talk. We're just talking just to say something, just to have words, you know, bubbling forth. And that's not the case. He created this situation on himself. Anthony Miller did. I thought he was going to stick around. So I was dead wrong. And when the news dropped of it, I actually called DeVore.
Yeah, he did.
I was like, dog, you won't believe, like you was right, dog. You was 100% right. So I give credit where credit is due, man. You know, sometimes we make a statement or whatever it is, and a lot of people just think we're just talking to just be talking, and that's not the case, man. It was clear. And I thought they was going to let him stick around because he was in the last year of the deal, and, hey, he was a second-round draft pick, so if you could, you know, salvage something of his, you know, first 4 years in the league, maybe you could pull it out of him this year, but – that wasn't the case, man. They was fed up with his antics, with his BS, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, he's a talented guy, not the fastest in the world, of course, but he's lacking IQ. That's the biggest thing. Football IQ on the football field, knowing where to be, study habits, all these things contributed to him being traded, being deemed someone who is, you know, not needed. Let's just be real about it. Because if you was needed, they would have kept you. They wouldn't have moved on from you. And, you know, we'd rather see what somebody like Justin Hardy has.
Facts.
That's what the Bears are not looking at. So it lets you know what they thought of Anthony Miller. His time was done. It was up. So it is what it is. You know, I'm not one of these people who was sad to see him go. And you know, I think me and Will was going back and forth a little bit on that on Twitter with somebody. We were joking about it, like, what are we going to do? What's the offense going to do now that Anthony Miller's 40 catches are no longer here?
And five drops. And I'm like, season.
I think I shot a tweet like, oh, the offense is about to be in shambles because he's not out there.
But a lot of people were acting like that, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people acting like the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read an article by J.J. Stankovich, who used to be with NBC Sports. Shout out to him. He's with the Colts now, who had the own issues. And it was talking about Anthony Miller, and it was the same issues coming out of his rookie year that he said he had to improve on, that he still had to improve on going into year four. It was like, he didn't know the playbook. A lot of times he was just running his own routes. He had an issue with drops, maturity. He was showing up late to practice in training camp, and it was the same issues. And so now you're going into year four, and he's having the same issues that he was having his rookie year. And that can't happen. And yeah, he was getting open, but so was Darnell Mooney. But Darnell Mooney was able to capitalize on his opportunities that Anthony Miller didn't. And when that happened, it was all down.
Yeah. I mean, you line up in the wrong area. That means you don't even know.
You ain't even
know
the playbook.
It's not even not knowing the route or knowing the. You don't know anything about the play if you lining up in the wrong area.
Yeah, he's just out there.
Yeah, he's in the fucking way. He's in the way.
Yeah, like, remember that time it was remember, I had to look it up because people think like, oh, it was just the Saints game that he had these issues. Remember, he got ejected, and I was at this game versus the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a late questionable hit on Mitch Trubisky, and he just started fighting the dude on the side, got kicked out. And then the next year,
the Rams. He threw up
Memphis. He ran the wrong route. Mitch threw it, and he popped the ball up in the air, and the defender caught it, and then he threw up the Memphis M, you know? And then it was the Saints thing. So it's been –
Bro, you're a professional. One, you ain't no gangbanger. The fuck you throwing up signs for on the field? Like, what is that supposed to do? Scare somebody? Like, literally. Like, who you scaring, bro? Like, what the fuck? It's like he operates with the mind of a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is you on? This ain't Pee-wee. Dumbass motherfucker. You throwing up M's. Like, what the fuck that supposed to mean?
I know. What are you supposed to do? Throw up one back?
Right. M-Tom. Like, motherfucker, like, you just caused a pick. Take your stupid ass to the sideline.
I mean, no hate to anybody in Memphis, but come on. They're not known for, what are they known for? You know what I mean?
Barbecue.
A-ball MJG.
Country music. barbecue. 3-6 Mafia. Don't get me wrong. Look, I spent some time in Memphis. It's some real hood ass, rough ass areas of the M. Don't get me wrong. You know, you got Black Haven, you know what I'm saying, Whitehall, all that. Okay, I get it. Great. Memphis Melrose, one of the greatest high school football teams in that state of Tennessee. Memphis Melrose back in the day. You know, Carter High. They was pretty much Carter High. You know what I'm saying? A Dallas Carter of football in that state of Tennessee. So don't get me wrong, but the thing is like, bro,
You ain't no gangbanger.
It's football. This is the NFL. This is a professional NFL sport, and you're on prime time.
Yeah.
For a charter franchise.
Bro. Big John Henry is probably one of the most scariest men ever, you know, in football. You know what I'm saying? And he was from Nashville. He wasn't throwing up, you know what I'm saying, gang signs or nothing like that. And this motherfucker, 6'8", 360 pounds, all muscle, with black as hell, with a mouth full of golds. You know what I'm saying? And he wasn't doing that foolishness, man. Come on, dude. Straight up, man. I didn't understand that one with dude, man. It's some maturity issues, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so,
because the thing about the talent, we say people got talent. Everybody in the NFL got talent.
Damn, you know right.
What separates one guy from the next? What separates one guy from the next is their maturity, their ability to study the playbook. Especially, like, the thing about it is, I always look at, I heard some scouts say this, X factor. What's your X factor? Is it speed? Are you able to high point the ball? Are you big? Like, what? He really didn't have a X factor. He's not that big. He's not that fast. He dropped a lot of balls, and he's running the wrong routes. You're not going to last in the NFL that long, bro.
I said it before. I don't see him lasting too long.
And he lasted because he produced as a rookie. He only had 33 catches, but 7 of them were touchdowns. Mm. The right. Texans, going forward, you don't have that draft stock. Oh, he's a second-round draft pick. That's gone.
You're a guy who they traded a fifth-round pick for, basically.
Not only that, and on top of that, it's kind of fucked up, but you ain't going to have Deshaun Watson to throw you the ball either.
Nope.
So you pretty much cooked. Yeah. They just trying to see what you got in the tank. You know what I'm saying? See if you worth a roster spot at this point.
Yeah, it's a flyer.
The thing that's mind-boggling about Anthony Miller is, like, we talk about some of the things that he did wrong, right? Drop passes, not knowing the playbook, not studying hard, not giving all his effort, football IQ low, getting in fights on the field, getting kicked out of games, playoff games. You know what I'm saying? After it was told not to, you know, pay attention to this guy. We don't want to get into it with him, right? He did it anyway. After all of that, in the offseason, Anthony Miller was liking tweets about going to New England or to the Jets, or, you know, liking things about that. And now you found yourself traded. You went from, you see where they value you, because you went from a second round draft pick to being traded for a fifth round. What's next on the list, bro? Ain't nobody giving up a seventh round pick for you. You out of the league at this point. So this is your last opportunity. Hey, maybe Houston can pull something out of him. I don't know. Good luck with that.
Yeah. The thing about it is, man, that fans were acting like, oh my God, like, we just traded prime Randy Moss.
Oh my God, man.
That was the thing that killed me, man. I was like, man, the offense, I didn't know. I thought they were going to bring him to the training camp. Like DeVore said, he was done. I thought he was going to at least bring him to training camp. They ain't even want him in training camp. That tells me probably what they thought about him, especially when Mike Furry popped off on him before the training camp even started, talking about, we don't need you. You know, so, and actually in a quote from J.J. Stankovic's article, he said the same thing, that this is a, we want you, we don't need you, leave. So they showed him that they don't need him, that they added all this speed. And this, and then the thing that the speed does to the offense that a guy like Anthony Miller just doesn't bring. He's just not fast enough. No one's scared of Anthony Miller burning you off top.
Right.
He's only catching 40 passes a game. It's not like this guy's catching 80 passes. It's not like he's A-Rod.
Right.
That speed element brings a whole different dynamic to the game. And they like, hey, dude, we got these dudes that run 4-2, 4-3. You know, I can just tell them to go on a go route, and the safety's going to have to occupy that man. They might not catch 80 balls, but they can at least do that. What do you bring? You and him punching dudes in the helmet. So to the fans that like all butthurt about Anthony Miller, man, we will survive. You know.
Yeah, that
we're gonna make it.
It's crazy, man, to hear about, you know, but I mean, this is the Bears, bro, and this is the Bears fan base, and we are a part of that fan base. But the crazy thing is that we could give up a third string fucking kicker and they would bitch and complain about it and say how we gave up a player that we're gonna need later on down the fucking line. You know, again, there was people
put him on the practice squad.
Exactly. You know, there were people who cried over Daniel Braverman getting fucking released. Okay, Daniel Braverman. What's my man? Hartline. Remember, he played for us for a quick minute. You know, they complained over that.
Morstead.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, he played for the Bears. We cut him.
Well, again, they fucking cried over Cam Meredith, bro. Ask me who the fuck was Cam Meredith after he left the Bears and went to New Orleans. What do you do? Jack shit. So one thing about Bears fans is we like to covet shit. Okay, again, I don't know, for whatever reason they just are in love with bullshit.
I know why.
Because we ain't had nothing better,
bro. I've said it before. I'm a firm believer that the Bears fan base has been conditioned to accept mediocrity.
Absolutely. You know what? I got to give you a round of applause for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth.
It's a sad thing, man, and that's the product that they have put on the field, and we've accepted it, you know what I mean, for a long time. But now we're on to bigger and better things. Now it's time to start demanding that we move forward, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got a tight quarterback. Now it's time to get tight everywhere else.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and it's the thing. I think it's a lot of it is penis envy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Penis envy. It's like, you know, for people don't know what it is, like you in a high school game, you in the locker room, man. You know, people in that meat gazing. People be like, man, old boy over there look pretty good. I wish I had that. Right? It's a lot of that going on in the family. It is, man. Like, people be telling me, oh, this guy's better than this guy. I'm like, no, he's not. You know? The grass always greener, man. It could be anything. We can be like, we can pick up a running back.
That boy's stupid, man. What do you say, Roy? Man, you looking good over there. I wish I had
some of that.
Say boy. Looking mighty good over there in them jeans. Like,
so some of these cats, man, everybody's better than the Bears players. It could be anybody.
I swear.
He could be like a guard. I'd be like, man, that guy ain't better than James. And I'd be like, he's legitimately not. But they'd be like, no, man, he's good. Just the sun shines the right way on his forehead and the wind blows, he's better. We should have picked him. And I'm like, dog, if he was better, he would have produced better than the player that we had. You get what I'm saying? Like, this guy ain't better just because you think he's better. He ain't better.
That's funny.
You
know,
it's just, you know, it's penis envy. A lot of penis envy, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of mush brain motherfuckers. You know, I sent out a tweet over the weekend. I just got back in from Chicago last Sunday. So I sent a tweet out.
Round of applause for that, too.
Yeah, round of applause.
We got to mention it. Yeah. My man's went out there and handled his business. All kinds of exams.
Hey, you know I what appreciate I mean? That.
He handled his business and came back with license and certifications and
receipts.
Everything else.
Hey,
and it was all kinds of
certifications,
DMs,
certifications. Yeah,
I appreciate that, man. Hey, you know, it was wild, man. You know, that whole you talking about stress. And, you know, there's three exams you have to get 100% on.
100%.
You have to get 100% on. And then there are a couple more. Then there were three exams you had to get 100% on. And then there were six other exams you had to get an 88 or better. And It, you know, we went in with, I think it was nine guys. We went in with nine guys and only four graduated. You know, so.
Less than 50%.
Yeah. So, you know, it was definitely, something to gaze at, man. It was just like, damn, that's how it's laying, huh? All right, well, so be it. But
you were in your playbook, unlike Anthony.
Absolutely. Miller. You know, exactly. I was buried in that damn playbook, man. No bullshit. So, but I appreciate the love, everybody. Shout out to me on Twitter, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was giving me nothing but mad congratulations and everything, man. And I appreciate that. So, from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to tell everybody thank you. And thank you to my two brothers here. You know what I'm saying? At Three Kings Midway. You know, Three Kings of the Midway. I appreciate the love.
It's impressive,
wholeheartedly.
It's impressive.
Thank you so much.
It's impressive. It shows, especially for our younger listeners, man, younger cats, that, hey, when you put in the work, you got to put in the work.
Absolutely.
You know, it ain't just sports. Like, we talking about this, about the players. Like, we doing this in our own lives.
Right.
You got to put in the work.
Absolutely.
He's showing you, I put in this work. And when you go and take the exam, you ain't walking in there like, I hope I pass. No, your ass been studying it. You pretty much know you're going to pass. You might be nervous, but you go in like, hey, man, I put in work.
Right.
And when you step in that an exam room, you pass.
And just to, you know, clarify, for those who don't know, I went pretty much to get my license to be a train conductor on the railroad. So it was definitely no joke. But the crazy thing about it is, where most people look at it as, oh, this is just an exam. What's the big deal? The big deal is that if you don't pass, you're terminated. So, you know, you got cats who, you know, have been working on the railroad for 2-3 years, you know, and then they finally get sent for licensing. You only get two tries at it. So if you don't pass, it's not the end all be all. However, they give you 15 days, and then you come back. And if you don't pass, give me your badge. Give me your keys. See ya. You know,
that's real.
You know, and I mean, that's just the realism of the game, because you're dealing with lives. You know, you have people lives in your hands every day that you take over, and you're operating that train and that you're running that train. And during the time that you're in control, you know, nobody's over your rank. Nobody's over you on that train. What you say on that train goes, and they have to follow your orders. So if you not on your game, you killing a lot of people, including yourself. And if you don't die, you're going to jail for the rest of your life.
Yeah. That's why you got 100%, because you can't make a mistake.
Exactly.
Because people, yeah, you know, yeah. So that's a big deal. So shout out to you, man.
Thanks, man.
That's big. I like seeing that type of stuff, man. Yes, I love
definitely
it.
Appreciate that. So back to the tweet I sent out, and I sent it out on Sunday, and it was in regards of saying, I'm starting to finally realize how fucking stupid and clueless our fan base really are, that they don't know absolutely jack shit about football. Because to think that Justin Fields, because he was all world at Ohio State, doesn't need tutelage from veterans that are on this roster to take him under their wings and to get him to nuances, not only of the offense, but the nuances of opposing defenses that he will see throughout the NFL, and how people disguise coverages and whatnot. To think that information is not paramount and imperative to his growth is fucking insane. And the reason why I say this is because people nonstop have said, get rid of Nick Foles. We have Andy Dalton. Why are we paying this much money for a third string quarterback? For that is one easy answer. He's taken Justin Fields under his tutelage, and he's showing Justin Fields, okay, what did you see? Okay, you saw this. And what else did you see? Okay, I'm going to tell you how to diagnose this. And for those who say, well, he has Andy Dalton for that. Andy Dalton can teach him that. We don't need Foles for that. Well, excuse me. Isn't this the honest to God truth? Isn't this Andy Dalton's first year in the offense? Yes or no?
Yeah.
It is, right? So if this is his first year in the offense, right, then isn't he learning just like Justin Fields on what plays to go to? Where's the open man against different coverages and everything like that? Where's the soft spot? Because again, people, it don't matter what type of defense that a person that a defensive coordinator runs and the defense gives you, there are weak points in that defense. There are holes in that defense, right? It's your job to diagnose it as fast as you can. Those who diagnose it real fast and know where to put the and know where, you know, to hit the open man, whatever, whatnot, those are the quarterbacks that win. This is why Mitch Trubisky wasn't worth a good fuck, a wet fart, when he got out there and caught up under center, because he couldn't process it fast enough. You have to be, you know, Nick Foles, and this is why I say that he's paramount to Justin Fields' growth. Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Tampa Bay, right?
Yep.
Okay, that was the same defense that made Patrick Mahomes, the almighty, look like Mr. Trubisky, right? In a sense, yeah. Not with the overthrows. Not with the overthrows, but you know what I'm saying? It made him look average, right? Or below average, right? He had a bad, he didn't have the greatest game, but his receivers didn't help him also. They dropped a lot of balls too. But the fact that he was back there running for his life, right? Against that Tampa Bay defense, right? And he wasn't picking the Tampa Bay defense apart, right? Now, for those who say that Nick Foles ain't worth a damn, this is, let me tell you his mental aptitude, okay? Let's take it back to when we played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was a key play that sewed the game up for us, right? Nick Foles walked to the line. He's seen the defensive coverage that Tampa, he's seen the defensive front that Tampa Bay was giving him. He saw what he was coming up against, and he knew what the defense was going to do. He changed the play. And when he changed the play at the line, what did he do? He swung David Montgomery out the backfield on a sail route and dropped it right in the bucket. He caught it. Game over, right? But he processed all of this pre-snap. Nick Foles may not be the most gifted player in the world, okay? His arm is a noodle now. His body is a statue.
His arm's weaker than Andy Dalton's.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? His arm is a noodle. His body is a statue. And, you know.
He runs like he has cement blocks on his feet.
Right. Exactly. But the thing is that his brain is there, correct? So with his brain being there and being intact, he is showing this to Justin Fields. So people, take in account. This is what he's doing with Justin Fields. It's not his ability. His ability is shit. All right. His ability is garbage. But the fact that he's giving this information to Justin Fields and showing him what he can do. Andy Dalton don't do this. We know that if Andy Dalton could do this, his ass would still be in Cincinnati. So my thing is that he's giving this information to Justin Fields. Now, imagine when Justin Fields comes to the line with all of his playmaking ability, that rocket arm, that 4.3 speed that he got, and he can see at a defense and be like, yeah, okay, watch it. We about to score. Because you know why? I'm about to do A, B, and C, and I'm finna hit C wide open in the scene. That's what he's giving Justin Fields. That's what he's bringing to the team.
You know,
and he's speeding.
Just caveat.
Yeah.
On that, Nagy mentioned that today. They were running a play, and he walked up to the line, and he already went to his third read based on what he saw the defense was doing.
Who did?
Justin Fields.
Okay.
They said he already knew that the option number, and that was the thing I used to worry about Mitch. I was like, there's certain times you don't have to go 1-2-3. Based on what the defense is doing, you'd be like, all right, they got one bracket, and why am I even going to really pay attention? This guy's going to be open because I'm seeing what's going on over here. And the fact that he already said, okay, number three is open, hike the ball and win to him. I actually think Dalton and Foles play a role in that. I don't think Dalton has as much time as Nick Foles to be a mentor because he has to take the number one reps. Dalton has to still try to fight for his job and if he's going to be the starter run the offense. So
right.
he's not going to be able to do it as much as Nick Foles, whereas Nick Foles throwing like three passes a practice, man.
Right.
he's a number three. He ain't got number time but to,
right.
to tell this guy. And he has the best job in America right
he
now.
He got
man.
Time on his hands.
No, man. No, no. We're not wasting any time on you.
He come out there with that visor on. He don't even break a sweat. only when he's stretching. Maybe he lead the prayer group, like I said in the tweet. So, yeah, he does have time. I think they'll still trade him if they get an offer good enough, which may happen.
It may happen with the Colts. Yeah.
They offer you a fourth round, fifth round draft pick. Yeah, you might have to take it.
I got a difference of opinion than you guys, man. I just don't see the value in Nick Foles at all. I'm sorry. I just don't. And the reason, maybe if we were paying him less, but I just can't get over the fact that we're paying him so much money. You know what I mean? And it's not worth it. I don't care what I don't care how smart he is. I don't care how much reading of a defense or how much he knows about the playbook. It still ain't worth it, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Because I believe that Justin Fields will be fine without it. Now, will it help? Will it aid? Yeah, it might. He may be able to aid him in some things, preparation for the week. But trust me, Matt Nagy's going to be, you know, tied at the hip with this dude. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure he's going to be getting more information from Matt Nagy, more information from Flip, from Laser. You know what I mean? You got guys who play quarterback. You got guys who are offensive, you know, coordinators and quarterbacks coach and everything like that. How many of them do we need? Because essentially what you're telling me is that Nick Foles is now a quarterbacks coach or you know what I'm saying? So how many of those do we need? That's my question. And, you know, a lot of times when you have too many people in a guy's ear, That could screw him up too. If there's too many voices being, oh, do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? If everybody's not on the same page, then there's an issue there. You know what I mean? So in my opinion, I don't think Nick Foles is really, really needed. I think they should actively be shopping him right now as we speak to any and all takers. I don't care if it's a 7-round draft pick. Give him up. It don't matter. Give him
They're not gonna. The thing about it is that if you're going to trade them, you're going to do it because you're trying to free up money. I think if they get an offer, they'll trade them, but I don't think they're going to try to shop them because they're going to try to get fleeced. And it doesn't seem like to me like Ryan Pace is in the mood to get fleeced again. So if I, that's
you
what
fleeced
I
for him though, who?
Because some they, like who? they make you take a draft pick back to take them off your hands. And I don't think, I think they'll trade them. I don't think they're desperate to trade him. It's like a certain section of our fan base wants them to be. I think that if they got to keep him and got to cut him in the offseason or trade him in the offseason, they're fine with that.
Yeah.
Because right now, like you cut him, you save a little bit of cap money. What you going to spend it on? I mean, you can roll it over into next year. I mean, that you can do that.
There's going to be a lot of free agents that get cut coming up in this coming week.
Yeah. But you can cut them in June 1st. And you can get some cap space right now. It like the Jets wanted to get him.
You're talking about next year. I'm talking about for this year. If they could get out, if they could get from under his salary right now, then that would free up money for linebacker depth. I think we need linebacker depth, middle linebacker. Our linebackers are small. They're going to get injured. They've been injured the last 3 years at some point in the season.
They got like $6 million cap space. If you sign anybody right now, you ain't paying them no more than a minimum. Like, so
that's true. That's
like
true.
That's what I'm saying. It ain't much on the market anyway. I mean, I get it, people. But I'm saying you got to look at it from their perspective. It takes two to tango. Somebody has to be willing to trade. Like with Anthony Miller, they just waited. Yeah. Which it might be smart with Foles. They just waited. They could have cut Anthony Miller. They're like, no, we're just gonna keep him. And then one day they're like, hey, I'll give you a fifth rounder for a 7th rounder, Anthony Miller. Foles might get traded, but I do think right now him having Justin Fields, I don't think he's going to need it for long. But that part, and I'm going to get into something else too about the Dalton Foles thing, because people are upset that Dalton's getting reps and they said that today Foles looked better. I mean, Fields looked better than Dalton, because that's what's going to happen. Like, bro, the thing about it is Fields is more talented than Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Adam Hole put that in there too. He said, yes, Dalton is more polished. What do you expect from a guy that played in an NFL for 11 years? Mm-hmm. right? Who's won 74 NFL games. Correct. He lost all his playoff games, but he's been there four times. There's nothing that can happen. Like, you ain't, there's nothing you can do to make up that experience, but to get experience. He's just going to have to keep repping. Then eventually that experience gap is going to be shorter. And then that talent that Justerfield has that's so far superior that anything Andy Dalton can do is just going to be surpassed. But he still has to get that part. And like, the thing about it is that we dogged the Bears organization about how they handled Mitch Trubisky, how they threw him out in the field too early. Mike Glennon was trash. He wasn't a good mentor. He didn't have weapons. And we're doing the complete opposite with Justin Fields, and people are mad. And to me, that's shocking. You got veteran quarterbacks that he's better than, but they are good enough, at least Andy Dalton actually can function in NFL offense, unlike Mike Glennon. You got Nick Foles, who can be a mentor. Andy Dalton can be a mentor. You got weapons. You got quarterback coaches. All these guys who play quarterback in the NFL. I mean, not the NFL, but college. And we're mad that they're like, hey, man, let's teach this guy. Let's groom this guy. He has all the talent in the world. Eventually, I promise you, Justin Fields, it is going to click. And when it clicks, it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely.
And don't rush the process.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm getting real vibes, you know, because they're saying, like, oh, he looked like it was his first fucking practice. You know, when they're saying, oh, he looked like he showed that, you know, the difference between an 11-year vet and a rookie. Well, it was the first practice. What the hell you expect?
And it was scripted. Yeah. Nagy told them before the practice, we are telling these guys to throw to certain spots. They can't read. They can't check it down. Throw to that spot. I don't know why they were doing it. I don't understand, like, what
who, was the right.
Yeah, what was the, I don't understand ass. What they were trying to teach them. But that right. first practice, they were throw to this guy. The defense knows that they were throwing to that guy. So the media comes in. Oh, my God, he threw back. I got him wrong. Let me write him down. Oh, yeah, he looked like crap today. Yeah. And then today he looked good.
Exactly. So my thing is, and I truly see this happening, this is a Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson situation that I mm-hmm. think is going to take place in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny talent. You can't deny it. And I'm just chomping at the bit for August 14th, which is a day before my birthday, but I'm chomping at the bit for August 14th to see what Justin Fields is really going to bring to the table, because ain't nobody wasting time to see what the fuck Andy Dalton got. We know what he can do.
Exactly.
All right, you get one series, three handoffs, get your ass out the game. Throw Justin Fields in there and let's see what he gonna do. Hand the ball off three straight times and get your ass out the way, Dalton. We want to see what Justin Fields can bring to the table. Exactly. And I'm telling you, if Justin Fields starts off, if he pulls off a Russell Wilson type thing where he's leading them on scoring drives, and I ain't talking threes, I'm talking they ended in sixes. Okay, the first
chunk plays on top of it, not 7 yards, 7 yards, 7 yards. No,
chunk plays. Straight up chunk plays where he's marching them down the field, boom, in the end zone, touchdown. It's only going to take two or three of those, and then we already know who's our starting quarterback.
The whole team is.
Yeah.
The whole team's going to know, bro. They're going to be like, they're going to be looking at each other. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack.
Like, bro. What?
You see that?
Yo, speaking of cats that speaks on the defense, man, hey, I believe it when I see it, but, dog, we really had a Robert Quinn sighting today.
Yeah.
Legit. Again. I believe it when I see it. But, you know, they were coming off the edges, as Matt Nagy say, they were coming off the edges hard, him and Khalil Mack. We know Khalil Mack comes off the edge hard. But, mm-hmm. to you know, a Robert Boss. Quinn sighting, you know, I mean, you know, now he may require a 3-month ice bath after today's showing, you know, just to let everybody know, hey, you know, I still got the juice, man. You know, he may require a 3-month ice bath after that, but, you know, hey, I mean, maybe he's listening to the podcast and, you know, I told you, you keep pulling in, I'm talking, it's nagging injuries with him and his back and, okay, motherfucker, I'm going to nag your ass. Yeah, you're going to go right on the IR. I'll see you week 11.
I mean, you got to look at it too. Like, I don't know if y'all been seeing, but what's his name? Travis Gibson?
Yes.
No, he's, see how slow that dude is?
Yeah.
You see how much muscle he put on?
Yeah. Yeah, dude is yoked.
Dude is yoked. He's trying to do something, right? So, yeah. You know, maybe that'll light a little fire under, you know, Robert Quinn and say, hey, man, you got a young buck that's in shape.
Not just him, though. But we got you know, so many.
He pulled out his chest when he walking right. home like, I got to get the gym. I got to start in the weights.
Got to do something, man. Got and a I young saw that, cat in there. You know what I mean?
Khalil Mack recruited Jeremiah Atacho.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
In his interview, he said him and Khalil Mack were the same draft class, and Khalil Mack actually called him and told him to come to Chicago.
Mm.
So yeah, he probably in there like, oh, okay, let me try to earn this paycheck, man.
That's what you call damning evidence.
Yeah, for real.
Straight up. Matt goes out and try to find your replacement.
Because he tired of getting triple teamed on that guy. He tried it. He tired of getting triple teamed and quadruple teamed. And like, damn, man, can somebody do something? Seriously.
4-5 sacks or something.
Like, damn, can somebody do something? So, you know, and speaking of somebody doing something, Eddie Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get into this.
Eddie. Look.
Let's see. Yeah, go ahead. Let's just get into it because this is going to be a nice Eddie little Jackson. Topic. I'm going to give you guys the floor on this one, man.
I'll let DeVore go first and see. He started it off on Twitter. He got everybody fired up.
Now, don't get me wrong. Eddie is my guy, right? I love him when he ball hawking. I hate him when he's tackling. I hate him. Fair. When, you know, he's trying to make business decisions. I can't stand it. You know, I love him when he's ball hawking, though, you know, and that's great. But Eddie, there's more to your game than ball hawking. OK, Ed Reed ball hawk, too. But Ed Reed will also come up and undress you. Troy Polamalu ball hawk, too. But Troy Polamalu will come up and undress you. Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed will single-handedly change a game. Those are safeties that are worth that contract that you're getting right now. Those guys are worth that contract that you got, right? Not trying to count your money. I ain't in your pockets. But, bruh, how the fuck do you start training camp hurt? You ain't did shit. You started hurt. Okay, and then I got people saying, oh, well, he was working out and he hurt himself. Really? Sure, Jam. Sure. No, that motherfucker got paid. And after he got paid, he been Hollywood ever since. Him and Tariq, two of the same. Tariq got paid. This motherfucker pulling up in a slingshot. Lokes on. Live streaming, showing people dicks in the locker room. You remember that with Kyle Long? He live streaming Kyle Long, dick hanging all in the background and shit. Like, yo, what the fuck is you doing? Straight up. I'm like, bro, you just showing my man meat all over, like the whole world saw it. You know, I'm like, duh, right after the game. You live streaming in the locker room. Like, bro, don't you think my brothers is getting butt ass back here trying to get in the shower and go do what they got to do? You back here fucking off. So those two are the ones that annoy me the most on our roster. Because it's like they done got paid. Just like Tariq, he ain't in no hurry to fucking come. You know, he don't look like he in no hurry at all, which that's an alarm, reason for alarm for me, because he think he's safe. Nothing is guaranteed in the NFL. I done seen cats who done got signed to blockbuster deals and then got their ass booted the following damn year. Remember that Albert Haynesworth, remember him?
Yeah.
Nothing is guaranteed, man. Nothing is ever guaranteed. So, you know, for Eddie Jackson, you know, every time we see him, what are you talking about? Money, right? Money. Oh, I'm putting. Remember, I got pissed off at him in the Green Bay, Tampa Bay before that game kicked off. I'm covering all bets for the Green Bay Packers. What? Wait a minute, bro. You forgot who you play for?
Yeah.
You forgot who you play for? You forgot who pay you, cuz? Don't know Bears fan. Well, fuck the Packers. We don't root for them. ever. Never.
Yeah, I remember that.
Brian Urlacher, of all people, which, you know, I don't really be bothered with after his remarks for the Black Lives Matter movement. But, you know, they asked him, would you ever root for Green? When Green Bay went to the Super Bowl against the Steelers, would you? Hell no, I ain't rooting for them. I want the damn Steelers to win. I ain't rooting for my fucking division rival who just beat me. I don't fuck them. I want them to lose. So, you know, Eddie is always talking about money or he's coming up lame. Now you coming to camp lame. Come on, bro. Cut the shit, man. You're not hurt. You just don't want to fucking practice. That's why I said maybe it was tackling drill day. I don't know for why he didn't want to be out there. Who knows? You know, yeah. Oh, we tackle. Oh, hold up. Y'all teaching us how to tackle. All right, coach, you know, I pulled my hammy a little bit last week. You know, it's a little tight, a little sore coming into camp today. So I think I'm going to sit this week out.
Why you flaming my man Eddie?
Oh, man.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
I like Eddie. Roll but Tide. Eddie be on some bullshit.
His tackling, I can't defend his tackling because I was actually watching.
Remember that Saints game? The playoff game?
I actually was watching that game. I was watching the
beat his fucking hands with stones. Green Bay game. Bro.
The Green Bay game, and he pulled up at the end. You know, I like it, like a guy catches a touchdown in the end zone, but people whack him anyway just to send a message. He didn't do that. He was like, oh, you caught the touchdown. You good. No, smack his ass anyway, dude. He got the touchdown. You might as well give him some pain while you at it. So that part I agree with. Right. You know, I think he the hamstring thing, bro. If you tweak your hamstring, take your time. I've seen that dude working out. I've seen all of that on Instagram. He has little workouts. He's doing little plyometric drills.
No tackling drills.
Yeah, no tackling drills. But what Eddie Jackson does do is that when he's a ball hawk, this man is amazing.
Absolutely.
And it ain't that many guys. You can't find him in the league. He got 6 touchdowns. Should have like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Because he got like 2 called back. He had 3 fumble recoveries, 3 up. Yeah, he had like 3 pick sixes. Should have, you know, 5 pick sixes.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, he was asked to tackle a lot. I think he had like 80-some tackles. That's not what he does. Right? You know, you had this man. He was playing a couple one robber. He was
walking
down.
Wait. Imagine saying a safety. That's not what he does. Tackling ain't his thing. A safety. Imagine that.
Being a hard hitter? Yeah.
You ain't got to be a hard hitter, but goddamn. Tackling. You're a defender. You're supposed to tackle. You know, the crazy thing about it is, Eddie, you have to make yourself more effective than just intercepting the ball, which Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu did. They could affect the game in many ways other than getting interceptions, even though they got a shitload of them. Troy Polamalu would come to the line and strip sack the quarterback. Or, you know, it was a play where this motherfucker jumped over the whole offensive line, caused a fumble, sacked the quarterback, fumbled, picked the ball up, and ran it back for a touchdown.
Those dudes are Hall of Famers. So exactly. The challenge for Eddie is, do you want to be a good player?
Yes.
Because that's what he is.
Yes.
Or do you want to be a great player?
Yes.
Because that's the difference between Eddie Jackson and Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. Those are great. Those guys are going to go in Canton. They're going to get gold jackets.
Yes.
The pace that Eddie Jackson's on, no, he's just going to be a good Bears player. He's going to be like Mike Brown. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, he was good.
But he's the second highest paid safety in the league.
Yeah. So he has to make the decision whether or not he wants to be great. And the next step for him to be great is to improve his tackling.
He's got to improve his all-around game. Yeah, he got to improve his all-around game.
Because playing the middle field, and also what he can do is what he's good at. I've seen this guy play man coverage on Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Run his route with him as a safety.
Yeah.
But we also seen him man coverage on a Green Bay tight end, whatever the Krotzenberger or whatever the fuck that looked like Tunyon, a motherfucker that
Robert Tunyon.
Yeah, Tunyon. And he just totally flat out mossed his ass.
Okay, but you talking about a tight end? I mean, he didn't get burnt at least, right? He's you talking about a tight end?
No, he got burnt.
Or whatever.
No, he got burnt. That was the Monday nighter we got embarrassed where Roquan got ran over into the end zone for that one touchdown. It's just like they just quit.
Yeah, that's the game that they quit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I agree to a certain extent with you because you look at the safeties in the league right now, you know, free safeties, Harrison Smith. You know, Earl Thomas, he's not in the league, but when he was there, he was a free safety.
Earl Thomas.
Aaron Weddle, you know what I mean?
They a little tight like that. You know?
They get down but like that.
I get what you're saying, that he needs to tackle better. But at the same time, I think Eddie Jackson can develop into a better tackler.
Yes.
Will he ever be a guy who's just like bringing the punishment?
No.
He ain't going to be that. You know what I mean? Let's be real. You know, you got a lot of guys who've started out in the league and they weren't great tacklers, but they developed into that. Eddie Jackson's still only 27.
Yeah. So he can tackle too, because he's done. Yeah,
he can tackle.
If Nick Saban's ass was on the sideline, he'd be a fucking
exactly.
He'd be tackling.
When you under the scrutiny of what the Bears was under last year with mediocre quarterback play that was really holding the whole team back. I could look at a lot of people and say, hey, they didn't give their maximum effort. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. Because, yeah, I mean, it's only human nature to be like, look, am I finna go out here and kill myself when
we down 21-3 and we know we can't score?
You know what I'm saying? So, right. I mean, I get that. I still feel like they should they know what type of player he is, and you got to pair him with somebody.
And then they bring back Gibson.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be on the third year that you know you need a thumper at strong safety, and you don't go get one. There's plenty that were available.
Yeah.
But they haven't made the choice to go get one. So that's my problem. You know what I mean? I know what Eddie Jackson is.
We could have. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with me is that I just want Desai, because everybody's talking about Desai and everybody loves Desai, that he puts him in the right position.
I hope he
does. You know what I mean?
I hope he
does. You can get him back to doing what he does. Because the way he covers that field, dude, that's a quarterback's nightmare. And that's going to help the young cornerbacks, because you know you got that guy back there. You got to know where he is when you let that ball go, because he can cover that ground and he can take the ball. Not only can he take the ball, he can turn it into a touchdown. But like you said, he can't just rely on that. You do have to be well-rounded. And then you become that possible gold jacket-wearing Hall of Famer when you retire, an all-time great Bear, you know, at the free safety position. As far as we can get in Tariq, it was a pitcher. I guess Tariq was a little chunky.
Put on that freshman 15.
Put on that freshman or that quarantine 15.
That quarantine 25. Because he was standing there. Look, he was standing there built like the comedian Ha Ha Davis. Sitting there all top heavy, you know, with the I crushed about 40 brews before he had the dad bod going on, man. You know what I'm saying? The big upper half with the still in shape strong legs, but the upper half the little muffin top going on. Like, damn, Reek, what you been doing, man? Grubbing and playing Fortnite and Call of Duty, Black Ops. I mean, but, you know, Roy, you made up a good point, man. You know, he could still be going through depression. What happened with his brother and all, whatnot. So yeah. that could have played a part, and that could have slowed up his rehab.
I think it does. Like, I think if it becomes an issue going forward, then, yeah, I think the gender reveal thing. I thought it was big that he got a son. I said, oh, he got a son. Because you lose a brother,
right?
You get a son. That lessens the blow. Now he's back around the team, around his bros. Everybody's back. He's kind of insulated, you know what I mean, from that pain. So maybe now that he's insulated, he got a son on the way. He's around the boys. The season's popping off. He's around David Montgomery, who, you know, who's just a fun brother to be around. You know what I mean? Energetic. You know, Justin Fields is around, the defenders around. Hopefully that rubs off on him, because I got a brother, man, who's probably listening to this podcast. So shout out to my baby brother, man. If I lost my brother, I would be devastated.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it would probably take me out of the game for a minute. Like, and I know that. Like, okay, I'm like, and the way he died, he's like, you can't even get revenge. It's like he, you know, he electrocuted himself.
Yeah.
It's not even like you really can be like, I'm gonna go get this. You know, he was, you know, whatever issue he had. So I'm pretty sure the brother hurt, man. hopefully he gets his head right. What Marshawn Lynch say? Take care of your chinkas, take care of your mentals.
Right.
You know what I mean? So hopefully he take care of his mentals. He's around his boys. You know, like I said, man, he can cut his carbs, eat some tilapia, hop on that Peloton, and he can be right in a month, man. He's a professional athlete.
This dude is 25 years old, man.
He's a professional athlete. You can drop 10 pounds in a month, you know? So.
And he's never had this, you know, no issue like that anyway. He's 25 years old, man. I think at the end of the day, you know, when you're limited in your rehab process, you know what I mean? How much, you know, yeah, you do your rehab and you do this and you do that, but it's only natural, man. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about it with this guy. I think he's a guy that loves football. He loves to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I see how much he has fun doing it, right? So he's not gonna eat himself out the league like a Jamarcus Russell.
I hope not.
Or nothing like that. I'm sure he ain't gonna do that, man.
I hope not.
I'm positive. You know what I mean? He ain't gonna be Calvin Benjamin out there. You know what I mean?
260.
268
playing wide receiver.
Damn,
you know,
I was like,
that ain't his MO, man. I think Tariq is gonna be fine.
That's damn near an offensive lineman lining up to play wide receiver, bro.
Yeah, that's a big tight end. That's
remember Jared Lorenzen, motherfucker was 300 pounds playing quarterback for the Giants, and he had a fucking cannon too.
I remember when he played for Kentucky, dude.
But the crazy thing, yeah, I remember he played for Kentucky.
Yeah, when he played for Kentucky.
Last I seen a Jerry Lorenzen, he was playing in some subpar arena league.
And he
was like 350, still playing quarterback, though. And then he'd go over to the sidelines and be smoking a square holding his helmet. Like, are you? I'm dead ass serious, bro. Like, are you shitting me right now? Wow.
Jared Lorenzen.
Damn.
That's wild, man.
That was a fat-ass quarterback.
That's a blast from the past, man.
They said Kelvin Benjamin, though, man. That story was crazy, right? They got him out of there or whatever.
Yeah, the Giants didn't want him there.
Nah. Yeah, no. What was it? What was last month? Minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
He came in at 254. And they said, hey, get down to 251 for us by the time training camp starts.
Mm.
And when he came back, he was 268. So he put on 14 pounds.
Hey, drop 10 pounds. No, I'm a gain 15.
In a month, he gained
15. That's putting in some work.
Bro, he just got a problem with his weight.
People was putting out tweets about, like joking about it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I seen one where somebody said, yeah, he got told the coach in Gettleman told him, you know what I mean, we're going to let you go because we caught you stealing food from the facility.
like they cut him on the way out. He grabbed some
cupcakes. I'm like, come on, dog.
Grab some cupcakes. He hit up the bar, grab some cupcakes. And
he got, man, it's sad.
He's a big dude, though, man. Yeah, he's naturally big dude, so it's like if he don't really pay attention, he blows up.
Yeah, yeah, he got to watch what he is.
Some people that just have different genetics, man, but you just, you know, if you're an athlete, if you're a football player, you rely on your body to do this and that and the third.
You got to fuel it, right?
I forget how you, bro, there are like meal prep delivery services.
Yeah.
That you can be like, oh, I want to. They'll count your macros for you. Like,
not
you
only
have
that,
carbs.
Yeah, you got chefs that'll prepare you a 5-star meal. Chefs.
He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. Just press the button, they'll deliver it to your house. You get your whole meal. You get your whole meals for the month. Hire a personal trainer to yell at you to get your ass in the gym. Like, this ain't hard, bro. Like, you know, you're a pro athlete. You're making millions of dollars to play a game. So, hey, man. But if you don't want it, you don't want it, man. You don't want it. I wanted to touch on something too, because I know this is gonna be near and dear to Dan. Matt Nagy, on his own accord, admitted to mistakes that he has made that he needs to be better. I posted, I thought this man, this is book by Jocko Willett. And I've heard this dude speak, and I had, you know, done training with these dudes, these Navy SEALs dudes. And it's called Extreme Ownership. Mm. Right. And it's this theory where you take ownership of everything no matter what. And I think Matt Nagy read this book. It's like, well, the thing about it is with Jocko, he said he was running a mission with the Navy SEALs out in Iraq, and they failed horribly at a mission. And he had all these people to blame when he was before the Generals. And then he walked in there, they were like, whose fault is it? They were fully prepared that he was going to start pointing fingers. He said, nope, it's all my fault. Well, they were like, well, this guy fell. Well, I should have trained that guy better. Well, this guy should have did this. Well, I should have made it clear to that guy that he should have done this. And I heard Matt Nagy talking, and I was like, did this man get this Jocko Willink book? Has he been listening to the podcast? Because this man on like three separate occasions said that he needed to be better, that he needed to make adjustments, and that he looked at himself in the mirror. Like, people didn't even ask him to.
I hope it just wasn't lip service, though, and I hope he really takes
that.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Now, the second part is you got to deliver on it.
Exactly. Know when you fucking up on your play calling. You know, if the offense is rolling, don't call a double reverse jet sweep the fucking cold connect.
Or change out the full personnel package.
Right.
The thing that I look at that, and you, true enough, he said that. He said that stuff, right?
He did it unprovoked, but
I'm going to put it in perspective. It's easy to do that now at this time of year. Let some things go wrong and let's see how he reacts. Because in the situation, in the moment, in the heat of the battle, right after the game when you got a press conference and you're throwing people under the bus in that press conference, that's what I want to see. Do you take responsibility at that point? Because I've never seen him do that during the season. When we were on, I mean, look at it. Look at it like this. This is how I look at it. All right. 2018 was a great year. He had a good year. 2019, the Bears went on a, what was it? A 5 or 6 game losing streak. Five?
I think it was. It was five or six,
something like that.
It wasn't six because we went through six.
Last year, you went 8 weeks, a 7 game losing streak, but you went 8 weeks without a win. Think about that. When you go that long, extended period of time, you cannot tell me that you're not culpable in that situation somewhere. There's everybody has flaws. Everybody has something. And not one time during either one of those losing streaks that we went under, did Matt Nagy come forward and say, you know what, I need to be better. I need to do this. I need to do that. He reluctantly gave up play calling. He took it back. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm getting at with Matt Nagy. I understand, you know, right now, everybody's saying what you're supposed to say. This is all cliche stuff, in my opinion. And when a person speaks in cliches all the time, I tend to be leery of trusting them because you're giving me too many cliches. You could throw one or two of them out there, but if everything I hear from you in every press conference is a cliche statement, then bro, like you're just giving me lip service. You're telling me what you think people want to hear. So, you know, when it comes down to it and the ball really gets rolling and maybe we hit some snags along the road, I'm going to see how he reacts and see if he says, hey, that one's on me, fellas. You know what I mean? Or does he let Cordero Patterson take the blame for, you know, having to run all the way backwards to the goal line and pick up a ball and run it out of there because you had nobody back there? You see what I'm saying? That's on you. That's on the special teams coach. That wasn't Cordero Patterson's fault, but Cordero Patterson's the one who took the blame.
Facts.
That happened last year in a game against the Lions.
Facts.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? That's the type of stuff that I'm talking about with Matt Nagy. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's my feeling on it, is that we'll see. But I, at this point, I will acknowledge that he did it.
Yeah, he did it.
For what it's worth. And he did it without someone telling him, hey, you gonna admit that you made mistakes? And he was like, I made mistakes and I got improved. And he did it again. So we'll see, man, because if he can get his head out of his ass, you know, that'd be better for the Bears, you know.
Facts.
Also I wanted to touch on, because it's starting to trend in this direction in the Twitter sphere that we kind of were on a while ago. It was kind of tied into Anthony Miller. We were talking about speed and how speed affects the offense. And I told people that we were going to go into a little bit of detail and talk about how it affects offense.
Break it down, right? Will.
And not having a strict designated slot player that all he plays is slot. Anthony Miller played most of his snaps in the slot. He didn't really play outside. He couldn't play outside because he didn't have speed outside. You can take a guy on the outside, like what they're doing with Damaire Byrd, he said in his interview, and they're putting him in the slot. They teach them how to run routes out of the slot. And Allen Robinson already can do it. Darnell Mooney can already do it. That way you can be multiple. You don't have a guy in the on the team and you just say, oh, he's going to play slot. No, you can have a guy, remember we were just talking about this on Twitter, you can have a guy in the backfield, like how other teams do it, like San Francisco, the 49ers. Have a wide receiver in the backfield, he's matched up with a linebacker, motion that guy out to the slot. Now he's matched up one-on-one with a linebacker. A lot of things what the Kansas City Chiefs do, they send Tariq Hill, they put him in the slot. He's an outside guy, but when they run the 11 personnel, when they have three wide receivers, one tight end and one running back, they put him in the slot. They have him run this route, it's like a go route, but it's kind of inverted. And what he does, it's a clear out route. He basically runs in the middle of the field with his 4-2 speed, and all the defenders are focused on Tariq Hill in the middle of the field. And what that does is it opens up
everything underneath.
Everything for guys like Travis Kelce.
Yes.
That's why Travis Kelce eats. He actually eats a lot because of Tyreek Hill, because of Nicole Hardman. These speed guys occupy the safeties. These safeties weren't worried about our wide receivers because they know they couldn't beat them. The only person they was worried about was Darnell Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
That's one safety worried about Darnell Mooney. You got Goodwin out there, they're worried about Goodwin. They worry about Darnell Mooney beating them deep. That opens up things underneath for guys like Komet. Now, if you put a safety on Komet, you took away a safety, they could be paying attention to the deep threats. And, oh, yeah, you still got Allen Robinson, who demands a double team. What, running backs out of the backfield like David Montgomery, Damian Harris, Khalil Herbert, and Tariq Cohen, whenever he gets back, they can catch the ball out of the backfield. They can split out wide and run routes. This creates matchup problems. In the NFL right now, having a just traditional, this is we got a slot guy, we got a number one guy, we got a number two guy. No, you need to be able to beat teams in multiple ways and run multiple fronts. You need to be able to run 12 personnel, which is two tight ends and two wide receivers, and use your running back as a wide receiver out of the backfield matched up on a linebacker. That's a mismatch. It's about creating mixed matches, exploiting mismatch, and you got guys like Justin Fields who drop back and say, I'm going to pick a target based on the mismatch. And also Justin Fields creates a mismatch because he is a running threat. Facts. It's called 11 on 11. When you have a quarterback that's immobile, you're playing 11 on 10 because they don't see that quarterback as a threat to run the football.
He ain't going nowhere.
Justin Fields is a threat. So you're probably going to have to take a linebacker and spy him on passing plays.
Facts.
Like we had to do with Michael Vick with Brian Urlacher.
Facts.
Remember that? That's what you are going to have to do with Justin Fields. What does that do? That take a linebacker out of the play. That because he has to focus on Justin Fields. So having all this speed in the running back position, the wide receiver position, the quarterback position, it just create mismatches all over the field and open up things underneath for guys like Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, Tariq Cohen, whenever he comes back, running those wheel routes, those Texas routes out of the backfield. Those guys are going to be open. That's what speed does to an offense, you know. And I just wanted to put that out there and just having guys that can move in and out the slot. You might have a guy playing the slot more than the other, but you need to have guys that can play all three positions, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
You become dangerous as an offense, you know.
And that's the thing, you know. Even like you mentioned 12 personnel, and it really piqued my interest because, you know, when you think about 12 personnel, you got tight ends like Jimmy Graham and you got Cole Kmet, right? It's a mismatch all day on little guys or on slow guys, whatever, you know, even though Jimmy Graham ain't the fastest guy in the world, I know that. But you can't just put a nickel back on either one of those guys. They're going to catch it over the top of them, right?
Facts.
They're going to push them around. You can't jam them at the line. So if you're running 12 personnel, just think of the nightmare that you create by having those big guys. And then you got Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney on the side of them. And then you got Tariq Cohen in the backfield or David Montgomery coming out of the backfield. The defense, the linebackers, the nickelback, they're going to be the safeties. They're going to be all over the place. They're not going to know what to do. You know what I mean? They're going to be at our mercy, at the Bears' mercy. And that's what people don't understand. So I don't want Nagy to go away from 12 personnel, but also incorporate these other guys like slot receivers and things like that, getting those guys to work out of slot. And it's good you mentioned it, Roy, because you know, you think about it, and I tweeted it last week too. you know, the Bears have a lot of speed now. They have a ton of speed out there. And it's going to open up, you know, a lot of different things for people, a lot of different areas of the field. Now, somebody chimed in and they was like, oh, you're just going to have them running go routes. It doesn't matter if it's a go route. It doesn't matter if they run it underneath, drags, you know, digs, whatever. It don't matter what they're running. You have to account for the speed. And if you account for the speed, it's going to open up other areas of the field. The Bears have had areas of the field that they cannot attack because they don't have speed.
Which is the deep third.
In the past 3 years.
Deep middle, deep third.
Not even just deep, though. I mean, yeah, they couldn't go deep. But right. because you drag the safety out deep, then you can attack the middle of the field. Or yep. you could attack a post. You can attack different.
I was going to say, seen Goodwin on the skinny post.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You can attack all those different areas of the field based on the speed that you have out there. So now they'll be able to do some of that stuff. And you'll see the offense. I think the offense will open up more. It'll make Nagy look a little bit better, unfortunately. But I mean, I'm just being real. It's going to make him look better than what he is. I'm telling the truth. But it's a good thing, man, to have that speed out there. Even if you're not running deep every play, it's still a decoy out there. It has to be accounted for. You can't just leave the guy and say, nah, we're not going to worry about him going deep, because you got a guy that can launch that mug 70 yards downfield.
And they don't got to catch 70. They don't have to catch 10 catches a game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Two or three deep passes, 20, 30 yards down the field will hurt you.
So it'll give Allen Robinson everything he needs underneath. It'll give Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham running up the seams all kind of room to do whatever they need to do.
Crazy thing is about that, though, and speaking of receivers, the Bears had just added 2 days ago Justin Hardy.
Yeah.
So you know that spells doom for Javon Wims. Javon Wims. Damn. And Riley Ridley. I think those guys are gone.
Both. That's only if they got only if I think Hardy they put, can pick I, up the playbook.
Yeah, I think they put Ridley on practice squad. And you know, I think we're gonna. Oh, Jesus, man, damn.
I want to see what Ridley can do, man.
I do too.
I think they're missing a boat on Ridley a little bit.
He has to play. He definitely has to play. But it could be possible with the injury to Daz Newsome that Daz Newsome goes to the IR and then gets put on the practice squad for the season. And but then again, it all depends on when Daz is coming back. But I think they go with Justin Hardy too, because Justin Hardy was Atlanta's third receiver, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy to see him available.
Like, the thing about Ridley, I looked up, he only has 11 NFL targets and he has 10 catches. He catches everything.
Yeah. Catches the ball.
You know, so he's not that fast, but I want to see what he does during preseason.
I know Wims' ass is cut. I know that for sure. He ain't coming back. Dude cut. Flat out, every way possible. Dog is getting cut. So I'm telling you that now. So those who sitting there watching Javon Wims and on the radar and wondering what's going on, that motherfucker getting cut, okay? Flat out. And it'll probably be the last cut. Well, it's only one cut before the fucking season start. So his name will be on the list. Trust and believe that nigga's getting cut. Flat out. Flat the fuck out.
Out of there, huh?
He out of there. Kick, punch, you're out of there. He's gone. Legit gone. So it's fucked up, but it is what it is. You should have produced. And on top of that, you dropped that fucking touchdown, you bitch. Get out of here.
I ain't got no love for that dude, man.
Get out of here.
Surprised he's still on the roster.
Because we didn't have nothing else. Now we do.
You got it now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on, man. I'd rather see you. I'd rather see Thomas Ives than Javon Wims right now, bro.
Damn. Javon Wims, you are
the booty. Oh.
Straight up cheeks.
I'm serious. I'd rather see Thomas Ives than that man right now, man. He tried to change his number. They like a rebranding. Like, if I go to number 15, George McCaskey will notice me walking around this facility.
Do you think they ain't gonna notice? Because every time you walk around and walk past, they get a whiff of that wind, and people be like,
"That music is garbage,
trash."
Oh man,
trash all the way. I'm excited for August 14th, fellas. I'm ecstatic. We are less than 2 weeks away from the first Bears preseason game, and we get our first taste of NFL football next week, Thursday.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame August, game on Fox.
August, what was it? August?
August, that? August 5th. Hall of Fame game on Fox.
Wow.
Ooh, wow. Finally, man.
So,
man.
It's the, is it, if I'm not mistaken, is it the Steelers and the Cowboys?
Cowboys, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I wonder how much Dak's going to play.
That's a good question.
But Dak didn't Dak have a shoulder?
Yeah, some shoulder stuff going on. But, you know, the crazy thing about it is, you know, well, the reason why I mentioned Dak is because everybody is mentioning Justin Fields and saying that Justin Fields is a bigger, stronger, faster Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think this is what I thought about Fields. I always thought that Dak Dak now is like, he's on another level. He's probably a top 10 quarterback.
Hell yeah, he's a top. Yeah, I say Dak is top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. As of right now in the NFL, Dak is a top 5 quarterback.
Top 5.
Because you got,
yeah, I put him up there.
You got Rodgers. You got Mahomes. Well, you got Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes.
I'm trying to get
it. Russ,
and then Dak, in my opinion.
You think you put Dak over Deshaun?
Yeah.
I think I got Deshaun
over Dak. See, the reason why I put Dak over Deshaun is because Deshaun has always had the beneficiaries of having DeAndre Hopkins.
But he balled out last year.
Right, he balled out last year. You know what I'm saying? He balled out last year, but shit, Dak was throwing the Coochaching County and Billy Chocohoe at wideout before he got, before the trade for Amari Cooper, and he got Gallup. You know what I'm saying? Who the hell was he throwing to, you know, his rookie year?
Yeah.
Dez Bryant?
Washed up Dez.
You know what I'm saying? Outside of Dez, I mean, hell, who the hell else was he throwing to? I mean, you got Beasley, the retard. You know? Cole Beasley. Hey,
I ain't taking no vaccination.
Hey, but you know what?
Taking no vaccination.
On the flip side of that, you see the shit that happened in the CDC that just broke on CNN talking about the new variant of the Delta variant is. I'll read this verbatim. It says the Delta variant is easily catchable and spreading just like chicken pox. And they said that the vaccinated can catch it and spread it just as much as the unvaccinated can. Then what was the point of going? I'm looking at it like, damn, why I go get my shots?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be because it doesn't. If you get it, it doesn't hit you as hard. Like the people who have been vaccinated can catch COVID.
Right,
your symptoms are mild.
It's and they like say you ain't supposed to be able to spread it. That was the whole point of the vaccination. But now this new Delta variation.
You can spread it.
Delta variation.
So you still got to quarantine. It just doesn't take you out.
I'm not going to get another vaccination shot.
Nah, I mean, not.
Yo, I'm on my last leg right now, and it's like 7:44 p.m. And I'm like, yo, another one. I'm telling you, they probably gonna hit everybody with like, yeah, y'all better go get that other Delta variant vaccination, and then it's gonna be like some, hydroponic vaccine variant coming out. Like, damn, when does it stop? It just keeps mutating. But
yeah, because people, nobody's getting vaccinated, man.
Right.
And also something during the season, I don't know if y'all think this is a big deal or not, but Jenkins and Ifedi have been out, haven't practiced yet. I know it was only three days or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I guess Jenkins had a sore back. They said, Nagy said he didn't think too much of it, and they saw him on the side pulling a cart with a rope or some crap. And Ifedi had a hip flexor during conditioning drills. So, you know, that's been around. So I don't know if you think that's a big deal. They haven't put on pads yet.
I'm not worried. Because come time to put on pads, I think, fuck Ifedi, I could care less. We got Brown for him, whether he ready or not. Jenkins, I'm just being real, bro. Jenkins, you know, he's going to be ready come time to put on pads. He's going to be ready to strap him up the beginning of preseason. So he's young. You know what I'm saying? If he has some tightness or soreness, stop jacking off. You'll be all right. Stop jacking off in the dorm rooms. You'll be fine.
I ain't worried about it either. I think Jenkins will be fine. If Fetty, hopefully, you know, he'll be fine as well. If not, I mean, we got some other pieces, man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We got Bars, who played decent last year. He can slide in somewhere, and maybe, you know, maybe you move Cody Whitehair to right tackle. But that's
why we drafted Brown. You know what I mean? He plays right tackle.
Yeah, we got Brown. We'll be all right.
My thing is with linemen. During it, like, I know they saying the pass rushers screaming around the edges. These dudes don't have on pads.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like, even Robert Quinn is like, that's why you said I want to see it.
Yeah.
They ain't got on pads. Like, he's running around Elijah Wilkerson, the backup tackle, dude. Like, exactly. Okay.
I'm looking like an All-American today.
Yeah, you playing a rookie. You know, I mean, like, you know, dude got, like, started 7 games in the NFL.
I'm earning my money today.
These dudes can't grab you and throw you in the dirt like he got thrown in the dirt versus the Detroit Lions.
Oh, my God, bruh. He got cleaned up so bad. And Dan highlighted that play, but I screamed. Cleaned so bad.
Dan posted it.
It was like
that play was.
He got
was
scraped.
So bad.
He got scraped. Like, it was a decleater.
It was terrible.
Like, golly.
Because guess what? Jenkins will decleat you.
Yeah.
Facts. You come around that edge doing that little hop skip that he does, mm-hmm. and he catches you. He burying you.
And he putting all his weight on you, too. So prepare.
He's laying on you.
Prepare for and Robert Quinn to be you. Out 8 weeks. Oh, hey, coach.
By Tevin Jenkins.
I got a backyotomy. I'm going to be out 8 weeks. I'm going to be out 8 weeks.
Please, God, help.
Like, oh, God. Like, all right, next man up. I'm excited to see what Snowden is going to do.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Snowden's going to do. I think Snowden is everybody want to talk about Leonard Floyd, but Snowden is the carbon copy of Leonard Floyd, the legit carbon copy. And if Desai is as smart as everybody say he is, he's going to unleash Gibson, and he's going to unleash Snowden.
Yeah.
On that other side. I expect big things. Remember when we had my man from Alabama. Was it Williams?
Mark Anderson.
Anderson, yeah. Anderson had like 11 sacks that year we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 12.
12.
Yeah.
And then didn't do shit, jack shit. Didn't do jack shit the rest of the way, you know.
He had a decent – he had another decent season like in New England, and that was it.
Yeah,
you know. 5 years later.
But, I mean, I see that type of breakout for Gibson and Snowden. Snowden's a rookie, so but you know if you watched any type of Virginia football, which I caught when they played Miami, you know what I'm saying, I caught a little bit when they played North Carolina, just fucking around scrolling through the channels. Dude was all over the field,
field. He when you watch him, like I didn't know who he was, but when you watch him, you like this dude didn't get drafted.
Exactly, and I wonder what the hell was up with that. He smoked some weed, dropped dirty. What happened?
Yeah, it kind of shocked me when you saw him. You like he didn't get drafted. You know, you wonder why, especially with the size he has, length, the athleticism. He's just like, you know, I mean, you can't take a 6th round pick on the guy, take a flyer on him. So yeah, man, it's gonna be Desai. I heard him talking today, and Gibson was talking about him, talking about how smart he is and how he calls stuff and he sees stuff and. It's going to be interesting to see, man. I can't wait because if Desai can get it rolling, the defense is going to be exciting. And also, I was giving Packers fans hell this week about their salary cap issues going into 2022. And a lot of people were catching feelings because, you know, a lot of them, they're not as – I don't think they're as educated as Bear fans. They just – things have been too good for them and they don't understand stuff in detail like how we understand it because we have to understand this stuff because we're Bear fans. They're negative $36 million in cap space next year. Right?
Damn!
Cooked.
Cooked. And that's without Davante Adams, who wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Mm.
So I'm like, I don't know how you're going to make that work. And I mean, they're like their cap numbers, dude, because they push so much money down the road. We thought Pace pushed money down the road. Like Za'Darius Smith and Kenny Clark, all these dudes are making like $20-something million next year. They pushed it all down the road.
There's going to be a lot of motherfuckers getting cut.
Preston Smith.
Hey, it's going to be a lot of people getting cut.
Adrian Amos.
Cut.
And they still got to play Zaire Alexander and Darnell Savage.
Yeah. Savage is trash, but he is trash. But Alexander's the real deal.
Yeah. So you got to pay that young man. What are you going to do? So that means to me that like, they don't understand Aaron Rodgers is gone. He set it up like this.
Yeah,
he knows that cap. He's gone. Devontae Adams is gone because they can't pay him. And even if you let those two guys walk, man, you still probably got to cut both the Smith brothers. Randall Cobb, who you just traded for.
Back to the ghetto, you go.
You know, so, you know, I was like, hey, y'all better win it all this year, man. Because
they ain't going to win shit. And that's the funny part about it is that everybody's expecting Green Bay to go run ramshot. Green Bay is probably going to be the most disappointing team in the NFL.
Exactly.
Because everybody going to be gunning for them.
And not only that, but it's turmoil, bro.
Exactly.
Like you got – look at what Aaron Rodgers did at that press conference. Did y'all, you saw, heard some of that. I mean, he basically ripped everybody he could, right? That's what he did.
Yeah.
So you see the writing is on the wall, what he's about this year. This is what he is. He don't care. He don't give a jack. So he's going to talk about Gutekunst. He's going to talk about the coach. Let the coach pull him off the field and kick a field goal again like he did. Let that happen again this year and see what happens.
Let them start getting popped.
I'm watching. I'm tuning in. I'm following Green Bay.
Yeah, I am.
I'm following Green Bay for that.
If they start off slow,
it's over.
It's gonna unravel.
It's gonna unravel.
And don't let us smack them.
Oh no!
Like, don't you remember? Like, and this hurt, man. This game. Remember, we 2018. We came out of the gates.
The
defense was 20 on
to
fire.
20
and
to
then
nothing.
We marched down the field because they weren't prepared for Nagy's offense, and he was great at scripting plays, and they had a good offense that year.
Yeah,
and they just marched down the field, touchdown, and you just felt in Green Bay. You can look at the stands, and them dudes were like,
"What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah, like
the changing of the guard.
Yeah, like it was the changing of the guards, and we played on week six, and I think even if Andy Dalton starts a couple games this season, Justin Fields is going to be in the.
He's going to be starting by then.
He's going to be starting, and he's going to have a couple of games.
Yeah.
And I want everything in me to see the defense on fire with Khalil Mack and all these guys on fire, and then that offense actually have somebody that can make them pay.
Yeah.
That can punish them.
Because they're not a great defense at all.
No. And so the fact that we couldn't score on them is frustrating, dude, because then you see other teams just come in and just select these dudes.
Yeah, like San Fran.
Yeah, just smoke them. And you just like, we only can score 14 points versus these dudes, Kevin King.
Right.
Really?
Right. It was mental. It was mental, and we didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, that especially that wasn't scared of them.
Exactly.
You know, I truly think that rivalry got in Mitch's head outside of that one game in 2018 when they just kind of sucked anyway. That rivalry, like, really got to his psyche.
Right, right.
And, you know, and because I'm like, dude, they ain't that good. You know, why are they stomping us out on defense like that? You know, so man, I can't wait, man. I can't wait till we stump these guys out. And the one thing I gotta do trash ass tweet of the week.
Trash ass tweet of the week.
That music is garbage.
Hit them with it.
It's a Green Bay Packer fan.
Oh,
right?
So of this course, is, surprise, surprise.
It was during the debates about, you know, Aaron Rodgers and if he's coming back or not. This dude's name is Adam. It's at Adam Habby. He's a Green Bay Packers, and he's a Michigan fan, which is another reason why he probably dislikes
the man in the Michigan hat.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Why he dislikes Justin Fields, because Justin Fields laid the smackdown on Michigan. He says this: gonna be funny if Fields tears his ACL or something in season one. And considering the fact that how Bears fans have been about the Rodgers situation, I hope Fields does tear his ACL. He said this trash ass tweet.
Fuck you.
But wow. I'll give it to Green Bay fans. Yeah, fuck him. I give it to Green Bay fans, man. Green Bay fans roasted his ass. Bear fans roasted his ass. And Michigan Wolverine fans roasted his ass.
Yeah.
It was a bloodbath.
Yeah, you wishing injury on a player, man. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
Idiot.
Seriously.
Straight idiot.
Like, come on, man. Nah, we can hate each other all day, but man, wishing ill will, no pun intended, but wishing ill will or, you know what I'm saying, wishing injury on another player, man, come on, dog. I hate Aaron Rodgers with a fucking passion, but I respect him and know he's a fucking beast, and I don't want to see him all go out there and get hurt.
Yeah, man, nobody wants to see that. That's a bogus tweet, man. It's a bogus individual, you know. And all I got to say about it is you don't respect the game if you wish injury on a player. Because other team, look at the other team. When a guy goes down, everybody has concern, man. Nobody wants to see anybody go out there. It's a game that you play for fun. It's a game that how you make your living. You know what I mean? Come on. Like, that's childish, man. But that's what it is. It's a guy that doesn't respect the game, doesn't understand the game, doesn't understand players and things like that.
Yeah. Because, like, even with Bakhtiari, he got hurt. Like, I remember I tweeted at Bakhti. I know he's not going to respond. I was like, hey, heal up, man. Get well soon. Because the thing about it is you want to kick your rival's ass full strength. You don't hope they get hurt. Like, I don't hope Aaron Rodgers get hurt. I want to beat Aaron Rodgers. I want the Bears to beat Aaron Rodgers.
Me too.
Get that monkey off their back.
Me too.
And I'd be like, oh, well, he retired or he got hurt and we won. No, fuck that. I want to win. Send him off to the pastures. Like, we finally beat Brett Favre and we finally beat Tom Brady. Finally exercise those demons, man. So that's the trash ass tweet of the week, man. Don't be treating no trash ass shit like that. You know, wishing ill will on players, man. Chump. And I'm glad everybody got at him. Packers fans even got at him.
Weak fool, chump. And you know, we had fun with it. I knew Aaron Rodgers was gonna come back. Let's just be
right. We
had fun with it. The turmoil that was going on with Green Bay, it was a joke. I love to see it. I love to see people losing their minds over Aaron Rodgers and him bashing, you know, the organization, coach, whoever. That was hilarious to me. So we had fun with it. Yeah. But I don't wish nobody injury, man. That's weak.
Yeah, same thing, man. You know, you don't do that, man. So we on parting shots, man. My parting shot is, hey, we got a lot of stuff in the works, man. I know Kat saw the YouTube clip that I posted.
Yes, sir.
On the Three Kings. You know, we got some stuff. We're going to try to hit it up, try to record live, to stream on all platforms. So
we'll be on.
Be on the lookout, man.
Yeah, we'll be on Periscope. We'll be on YouTube. And we're trying to get a little Facebook action to where we'll live stream on all three platforms while we doing the show, recording the podcast, doing what we do, bringing you that real, that raw, that unadulterated bear shit. Damn right.
Sure. Can't wait for it, man. It's going to be fun. A lot of things that we have in place. My parting shot, man, something that I just wanted to mention is I saw a nice clip of a throw from Andy Dalton. It wasn't even that great of a throw, to be honest with you. Somebody posted it and was like, oh, an absolute dime to Marquise Goodwin. Even though Marquise Goodwin had to slow down and jump to catch the ball, right?
That's not a dime.
That's not a dime.
No.
For anybody who's watching, that's not a dime. But the reason I mention that, Marquise Goodwin been playing good. He's been doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And he's been showing off, you know what I mean? His swagger lets you know that he's on that team.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But the concern that I have is Jalen Johnson on that play. Fell down. Now, it's just one play, of course.
Yeah.
But Marquise Goodwin is, you know, you was right there with him. You got to break that play up. You know what I mean? That was a jump ball, and I don't need a guy, small guy, out jumping you to get that ball. So hopefully Jalen Johnson – you know,
then he came up hurt after that.
The number one guy, the number one cornerback, he got to step it up a little bit better than that.
Facts.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. I like Jalen Johnson, man, but yeah, you gotta do that. But a lot of people don't know, man, that boy Goodwin got hops, man. He's a long
Yeah, Goodwin got hops. He's a
He got hops. One video where he was leaping with the little rubber bands.
Right.
Yeah, he'll surprise you, man. So
next week, we'll be 1 week closer to NFL preseason. We'll be one week away.
Hey, and another thing, even with the Goodwin thing, take everything you take with a grain of salt. So they put those pads on, baby.
Yeah.
The pads, you got stars in the underwear Olympics that as soon as they put those pads on, they disappear.
Yeah. Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Y'all remember what T.O. said famously? Everybody look good in shorts. Everybody look good in shorts on the football field. It's what happens when you put the pads on, though.
Facts.
Yeah. So, and I think Bill Lazor said that today, too. He's like, well, I take everything with a grain of salt until they put on the pads. So just keep that in mind, people, you know, that, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, you know, on these reports coming out of training camp. You know what I mean? Sure. So, hey, man, that's all I got. Unless y'all got anything, y'all want to shout anybody out or
that's it
anything
for me.
Special. Yeah, man.
Shout out to the Bear Down Report. I was on their podcast yesterday.
That's what's up.
Yes, sir.
Did a good job, man. Talked to some of them dudes over there, man. They nice guys, man. Ryan Dingle and had another guy named Jack on there. So shout out to them. Shout out to the reports that they do, too. So they got some decent riders over there, too. So if anybody's listening, that's the Bear Down Report, you know. They pretty good people, man. We enjoy it. I think they want to have you on sometime soon too, Will.
It was a schedule.
All of us and get us all over there at some point.
Yeah, so. It was a scheduling conflict. Mm-hmm. I had a gang of stuff yesterday. You know, yeah. Dad life. Hashtag dad life.
Yeah. That works.
Swam, karate, dance class. You'd be like, I'd be running around like I'm a damn Uber.
All right.
like, you know, so you can follow me at 79 Ill Will. Also, you can follow the Three Kings and the Midway podcast at @3Kings_Midway.
You can follow me at Devorey Nesby Sr. Twitter.
And you can follow me. Oh, and I on the thing too, I said you tried to copy me, Devorey. So I don't know if you listened to that. Because my name is at Dan Goodwin III. And so Devorey, he made his a little bit more. I don't know. He changed it because forgetting the other one.
Yeah,
right?
I kept forgetting it, man. So yeah, I was just like,
I remember we tried to shout it out. We tried to shout it out.
We couldn't look it up.
I had to go look it up. I was like, let me go forget.
So it's easy now. It's Devorey Nesby II. So you know,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I had to look. Yeah, shout out to the Bear Down Report guys.
Subscribe
to our YouTube page. It's Three Kings of the Midway. You know,
please do.
We got is a little intro video just to let you know we come and we're going to be streaming. But get it now so that way when we start pumping out the content, you already on there.
And you're not left behind.
You're not left behind because, you know, you can interact with us and stuff, ask questions and make comments and things like that, man.
Don't get ignorant because you will get embarrassed.
Hey, exactly,
because I did have a few Packers.
You hop on there and you try to embarrass us. We will embarrass you worse.
You know exactly what we do. You know what we do.
So
it was a Packer fan that they kind of did that. Like, oh yeah, I might tune. I'm like, hey,
come on if you want.
You've been warned. You've been warned.
Open invitation.
Absolutely.
You come on there, you might get your feelings hurt. Hey, thank y'all for rocking with us. Thank y'all for you know staying down, man, and bear down, man.
Bear down.
Bear down, baby. We out.
We out.